A white-haired German reached for a sandwich and grunted between bites. "I know der breed. America is full of dot kind. I tell you, you should import rope's ends free under your tariff." "Pshaw! There isn't any real harm to him. He's more to be pitied than anything," a man from New York drawled, as he lay at full length along the cushions under the wet skylight. "They've dragged him around from hotel to hotel ever since he was a kid. I was talking to his mother this morning. She's a lovely lady, but she don't pretend to manage him. He's going to Europe to finish his education." "Education isn't begun yet." This was a Philadelphian curled up in a corner. "That boy gets 200 a month pocket money, he told me. He isn't 16 either." "Railroads, his father, aren't it?" said the German. "Yep. That and mines and lumber and shipping. Built one place at San Diego, the old man has. Another at Los Angeles. Owns half a dozen railroads. Half the lumber on the Pacific slope. And lets his wife spend the money." The Philadelphian went on lazily. "The West don't suit her, she says. She just tracks around with the boy and her nerves, trying to find out what'll amuse him, I guess. Florida, Adirondacks, Lakewood, Hot Springs, New York, round again. He isn't much more than a second-hand hotel clerk now. When he's finished in Europe, he'll be a holy terror." "What's the matter with the old man attending to him personally?" said a voice from the frieze ulster. "Old man's piling up the rocks. Don't want to be disturbed, I guess. He'll find out his error a few years from now. Pity, because there's a heap of good in the boy, if you can get at it." "Mit a rope's end! Mit a rope's end!" growled the German. Once more the door banged, and a slight, slim-built boy, perhaps 15 years old, a half-smoked cigarette hanging from one corner of his mouth, leaned in over the high footway. His pasty yellow complexion did not show well on a person of his years, and his look was a mixture of irresolution, bravado, and very cheap smartness. He was dressed in a cherry-colored blazer, knickerbockers, red stockings, and bicycle shoes, with a red flannel cap at the back of his head. After whistling between his teeth as he eyed the company, he said in a loud voice, "Say, it's thick outside. You can hear the fish boats squawking all around us. Say, wouldn't it be great if we ran one down?" "Shut the door, Harvey," said the New Yorker. "Shut the door and stay outside. You're not wanted here."
"Who'll stop me?" he answered deliberately. "Did you pay for my passage, Mr. Martin? Guess I've as good right here as the next man."
He picked up some dice from a checkerboard and began throwing, right hand against left.
"Say, gentlemen, this is deader than mud. Can't we make a game of poker between us?"
There was no answer, and he puffed his cigarette, swung his legs, and drummed on the table with rather dirty fingers. Then he pulled out a roll of bills as if to count them.
"How's your mama this afternoon?" a man said. "I didn't see her at lunch." "In her stateroom, I guess. She's most always sick on the ocean. I'm going to give the stewardess $15 for looking after her. I don't go down more than I can avoid. It makes me feel mysterious to pass that butler's pantry place. Say, this is the first time I've been on the ocean."
"Oh, don't apologize, Harvey."
"Who's apologizing? This is the first time I've crossed the ocean, gentlemen, and except the first day, I haven't been sick one little bit. No, sir."
He brought down his fist with a triumphant bang, wetted his finger, and went on counting the bills.
"Oh, you're a high-grade machine with the writing in plain sight," the Philadelphian yawned. "You'll blossom into a credit to your country if you don't take care." "I know it. I'm an American, first, last, and all the time. I'll show 'em that when I strike Europe. Piff, my cig's out. I can't smoke the truck the steward sells. Any gentleman got a real Turkish cig on him?"
The chief engineer entered for a moment, red, smiling.